Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're turning through to Luke chapter 16, but before I read the passage, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word, and we do pray that you would bless it to our hearts and minds, that we might seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke 16, picking up at verse 1. He, being Jesus, also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings.'" I wonder if this parable makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable, specifically when Jesus says of the master that he commended, in verse 8, the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. I think it makes many of us feel a bit uncomfortable, and I know from some of the authors that write about this section that it makes a lot of other people uncomfortable, because they come up with all sorts of ingenious ways of seeking to change sort of the force of what Jesus is saying here. They explain, or attempt to at least, explain that this man's actually doing a good thing, not a bad thing. That's why Jesus commends him. And yet, I think if we're all honest, when we read of the dishonest manager, we're troubled. Why? Well, because he's being dishonest, right? And yet Jesus is using this parable to teach a point. And that troubles us too, doesn't it? And some of that's because we sometimes just forget the way parables work. You see, Jesus uses parables in a number of different ways. He can tell a parable of a man who sells everything he has to obtain a field with a treasure in it, so that we would read it and say, well, the kingdom's worth everything. I should give everything up to obtain it. He can tell a parable about a widow who desperately wants justice, yet doesn't get it, but nags long enough that she obtains it, and then tell us to pray to the Father because he gives justice quickly. And in this parable, he can give us a very dishonest manager and yet teach us a point that comes from it, which has nothing to do with us being dishonest. And that's what's going on here. It's tightly connected to the previous section. So Luke has just told us about two brothers, and both of these brothers did something wrong. Both of these brothers used what they had wrongly. The prodigal son used the father's inheritance and squandered it, threw it away without a thought to the life to come. The older brother, he labored with everything he had in an attempt to earn what was to come. And then we run into this dishonest manager who uses what he has now in order to gain for the future. And then Jesus takes that and applies it to his disciples at the end of it and says to them, "The sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." What is going on here? Well, if we see the parable and then think about verse 9, it starts to become very clear. You see, the dishonest manager, or just call him the manager was on a limited time schedule, wasn't he? He had been told, he had found out, that he was going to lose his job. He wasn't strong enough to dig, we're told, and he wasn't humble enough to beg. And so he was stuck in a very awkward situation. He had future concerns to worry about. And so what was he going to do? Well, he's going to use his limited time frame, his limited opportunity, his limited resources to store up for himself a future. And that's exactly what he does, doesn't he? He goes to the debtors, of whom is owed massive bills. We're talking 6, 8, 10 years worth of labor is owed, and he halves them. He slashes the debt. Why? Well, because then, when he loses his job, he can then go to them and say to them, "Hey, I need help. Don't forget how I looked after you." And he will gain friends. You see, he was acting with the resources available before him to gain future rewards, to gain future benefit. And then Jesus applies this to the disciples, doesn't he? He says, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. So when the job failed for the manager, he would be welcomed by these other people. Jesus says, when your money fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings by friends. Now, it's very important to realize briefly here that when Jesus says that you may be received, that they may receive you, he's not talking about God. Okay? He's not saying use your money in such a way that God will receive you. He's not saying, you know, be really good with your money so that you earn a position in heaven. No, he's talking about the people that they use their money towards. So how does this apply to us then? How does this parable unpack to you and I? Well, all of us are on a limited time schedule, right? We don't know how long we're going to be alive. We don't know how long our resources will last. Will I live for another year, 10 years, 20 years, or a day? I do not know. How long will my money last? I do not know. But this I do know. One day, my unrighteous wealth will fail. And so the question is, while I have it, what is it storing up for me? And we can think back a few chapters ago to that chapter 12, where it says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old. What's Jesus communicating to his disciples? Unlike the younger brother and the older brother, who sought to use their resources for here and now, be like the manager, use what you have now to gain friends in heaven. Who are these friends? They're the ones that we serve now. Let me give you some practical examples of this. When you give money to a missionary in eternity, the missionary can embrace you and say to you, thank you so much for your support. If it was not for you, I would not have been able to serve the kingdom of God. When you give your resources to the church, in eternity, the church will be able to say, thank you so much for your support. Without you, we would not have been able to serve the Lord. When you give your money to a minister, he will be able to embrace you and say to you, were it not for you, I would not have been able to care for the flock of God. Do you see what Jesus is communicating here? He's not so much communicating, make sure you're dishonest or make sure you're super shrewd, but rather make sure you use what you've been given for the sake of eternity, for the sake of things that last forever. You see, part of our problem with parables like this is that they're deeply challenging. And I think one of the reasons we so often want to argue for different interpretations, or we struggle with the face reading of it, is because deep down in our hearts, we know that actually we don't do it. That actually we're self-serving with our money and not God-serving. That deep down in our hearts, we would far rather use our money to please ourselves today rather than to make friends in heaven. And so it's a deep challenge for us. Are we going to use our money to invest in the kingdom of God, or are we going to use our money to invest in the kingdom of self? Let's pray. Father in heaven, would you help us to use our money well, to honour you with all of our cents, all of our dollars, and all of our things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.